Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And welcome back to Mads World. I'm your host, Mads, and I hope you've enjoyed season 9 of the podcast. This is the season finale, so I do have one request. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, as it's the simplest way to help out the show, and it will get me all prepared for season 10. Also, find me on social media, tell all your friends about it, share it on your story, I would really appreciate it. This week, I am joined by writer, actor, comedian, and author, Soph Galustin. Hailing from Manchester, Soph says she specializes in being gay and working class, while also being working class and gay. She has written and starred in her own comedy on BBC Three called Peckeds, appeared as a series regular alongside Simon Bird in Everyone Else Burns, and her debut book, No Worries If Not, has just been released, coming in at number one in lesbian poetry. Soph started posting TikToks less than 6 months ago, and she's already amassed over 130,000 followers. She's gone viral many times for her stereotypical impression of a TikTok lesbian, which is why I've asked her on the podcast. I'm a huge fan, so it's super exciting. In this episode, we discuss the funniest comments on Soph's videos, opportunities she's encountered through her growth on TikTok, misconceptions and stereotypes, how being queer and working class has defined her, the role models she had growing up, and how she hopes to impact people's lives within the gay working class community. Hello, Soph.
Hello, Maddie.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm really hot. It is scorching in London at the moment, but I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. I'm a huge fan of your TikTok, so I was buzzing when you came back and said you were keen for the pod, so I'm looking forward to our chat.
Thank you very much. I'm excited.
Me too. Let's jump into our speed date question round, just so everyone listening can learn a bit more about you before we have a discussion I'm really looking forward to as well, because it's not something I've spoken about on the podcast with anyone before. So
nice.
My first question is, what is your favourite pop culture moment?
Okay, so for me, pop culture is defined by X Factor auditions.
Amazing.
That is my definition of pop culture. So I'm a proper like 2008 X Factor girly.
Yeah.
So when I think of pop culture, I think of like Dawn the Apprentice jockey,
yeah,
Ariel Burdett, Debbie Stevens. I think of like old classic X Factor auditions. So maybe like Debbie Stevens throwing water over Louis Walsh. That for me is like high key pop culture.
Iconic. And what about the guy who brings his brother who goes, come on, move your body?
Ant and Seb.
Amazing.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So I love that.
It's so good. And it's just so cursed. But you know what I'm excited for? Big Brother this year. I think there's going to be some good memes coming out of that.
Stop it. Oh, I love
wait.
Big Brother. Nothing will ever be. I can't remember what like number season it was, but Gemma Collins.
Tiffany Pollard.
Tiffany Pollard. David is dead.
Oh, that for me, I think that's my all-time favourite, because I came from Australia, right? So I've been here 6 years. So I had not been exposed to any of this, any of the Love of Huns memes, I didn't even know who Gemma Collins was. And then someone did the education with me at my job and they sat me down and they're like, these are the videos that you need to familiarise yourself with if you're going to live in this country. And David is so dead.
True. David is dead.
It was like, it's like I was watching it for the first time. I was watching it for the first time. But everyone around me was like, I can't believe you've never seen this. This is insane behavior.
Yeah, that again, that is up there with pop culture moments. Like,
so good.
All, one of the best of all time. And also Tiffany's speech for Gemma, which is actually featured in my book.
Is it?
Yeah. The shoes that she gave me were not particularly shoes I would buy for myself.
I would have put them back on the rack.
I would have put them back on the rack. And they should be worn by a beautiful woman. And if that is the case.
God, it's so good.
So good.
My next question is, what is your funniest date story?
Oh, okay. Probably one of the funniest is when I was in Thailand with my girlfriend, and we were going on a little date to a cute island, like going to the island for the day.
Amazing.
And we had to get a boat there, and I suffer really bad with motion sickness.
No.
Like horrendously bad, like I can't even look at like people on a swing because it just makes me ill, and I have
Oh my God.
I know, it's horrendous. I've got really bad vertigo as well. I think I've actually got something up with my like ears, but I'm not sure. But anyway, really bad motion sickness, and the sea was super super choppy, so I was like, oh, I'm definitely gonna be sick. So we're sat there and we're sat at the bottom of the boat. This is a really like old, it's not like a nice, it wasn't a nice, particularly nice boat.
Okay.
And we're sat like in like the depths of the boat, and it just stinks of like petrol, and it's just awful, right? And all the windows are closed as well for some reason. So it's boiling, it stinks, and I'm just going like flying round this bottom of this boat because it's so, so choppy. And I said to my girlfriend, I was like, look, I'm going to be sick, and we didn't have anything to be sick in. So I was like, please go and find me something quickly to be sick
anything.
In. Anything. And she looked fine. Like, she doesn't really suffer with motion sickness that much. And I'm literally sat there going, I'm going to be sick.
Like heavy breathing.
Like, yeah, I was like fully talking to myself, and I was like, I need you to go and get me a bag quick. So she's gone, she's found a bag from someone, and she's on her way back to me, like flying across the boat. And just before she hands me the bag, she threw up in it. And she gave no indication that she was like feeling sick, gonna be sick. And I think it was like seeing me so violently ill.
Oh,
she
God.
Just all of a sudden started being sick. And then I went into caring mode. So I was like, oh my God, she's being sick. I need to look after her. But at the same time, I was like, so like she's being sick. I'm stroking her back. And while she's being sick, I'm like trying to look straight ahead. And I'm like, I was literally saying to myself, like, you're not going to be sick. 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 And then like, like seeing other people be sick makes me sick. Oh, it was
same. Hell. It's that sounds horrendous. This happened to me at gala the other day in London, because it was so hot, and I sculled like a bottle of water because I was like, I need to just get the water in, and then my stomach was like, absolutely not. I just threw up on the grass, and then my friend Megan was like, oh my God, why did you do that? And then she just threw up too. And I was like, what the hell? She's like, you've triggered me. Now I'm just going to. And then because she threw up, I threw up again. And then it was just like back and forth because we kept triggering each other. It was so bad.
It is really, really bad. And the worst thing was, once we've gotten to this like beautiful island and everyone had got off the boat, my girlfriend was still being sick, so like we couldn't move.
Bless.
So we're still stuck in the bottom of the boat, like flying around this boat while she's being sick. And I'm thinking, I just want to flipping get off.
Oh God!
It was hell.
Not good. Was it a good trip otherwise, though?
Other than that, it was a brilliant trip. Yeah,
amazing. I do love a bit of Thailand. It was Thailand, right?
Yeah, Thailand. Yeah, it's the first time I've been. It's so beautiful. I loved it so much.
So good. My next question is, and I'm really excited for this one to hear your answer, what are some of the funniest comments that you've gotten on your videos? Because my favorite thing about TikTok is, you know what my favorite thing to do is I try and guess what the the top comments will be. And then I click on the comments and then I'm like, I was right. Like, everyone wants to know that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes the comments, like when I'm scrolling through TikTok, sometimes the comments on other people's videos are funnier than the video.
Yeah.
Which I just love so much. So I think maybe my best kind of comments are things like, you have really pretty eyes. Do you have diabetes?
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Literally. People are so random. Like, what the hell?
Or like, your hair is so nice. Then just asking me about like a health condition.
Yeah.
Which I don't have.
Yeah.
Which is just so funny.
Yeah, that's really good.
I like it when people say stuff like, my therapist will be hearing about this. They're my favourite.
That's good.
Some people say, like, going to divorce my husband now. Those ones are quite funny. To be honest, people, like, depending on the video, the comments are so, so, so good. In fact, if I got video up now.
Yeah.
Let's have a quick look. Oh my gosh, okay, so people always tell me that I look like H.
Oh my god, that's not a compliment.
So people say I look like Aaron Taylor Johnson, which makes me laugh so much. People say I look like The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
What?
Vin Diesel, I get all the time.
When you do the eyebrow thing though, like TikTok lesbian wakes up, that's giving Vin Diesel. Like,
is it?
And that's actually giving The Rock, because The Rock does that, like, I can't do it.
He does.
The one-up eyebrow.
It's so true. Or when I do things in public, people are like, not in public. And I'm like, I love doing it in public. I think maybe the comparisons make me laugh the most, like, you look like so-and-so. Because sometimes I do see it a little bit.
Yeah, I can weirdly see the Aaron Taylor Johnson one, and I don't know how, but it's like an energy. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Probably the comparisons are the best ones.
And in a bit of a different vein, but still on TikTok, what wider impact do you hope to make through your platform that you have on TikTok?
I think like supporting women in comedy, representing women in comedy, representing the LGBTQ plus community, just defying the stereotype of women not being funny. I personally don't think there's enough like gay women in the media across all platforms, really. So ultimately it is just about making people laugh. Like, my videos are really stupid and like they're really lighthearted. So like the core of them is to just, you know, to just be funny. But I think if whilst doing that, just kind of like representing the communities I'm a part of as well is important for me.
That's so cool. And tell me everything about your book, which I understand came out in April, No Worries If Not, and the themes that you explore in that, and how everything that you've done on TikTok has the Australians coming out of me on TikTok has fed into that.
Yeah, so the book is autobiographical. It's called No Worries If Not, and it's a funny-ish story of growing up working class and queer. So it's kind of split up into three sections, so childhood, teens and adulthood, and it covers a wide range of themes, from sexuality to grief to class, what else, love, so many themes like relationships. And it's kind of about how those things progress through different times of our lives, if that makes sense, but through a comedic lens. It's also a lot of poetry in there as well. So if I was to use sexuality as an example, when I was a child, I discovered my sexuality. When I was a teenager, I explored my sexuality. And when I was an adult, I accepted my sexuality.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah.
So it's kind of like just taking themes and seeing how they alter in different periods of your life. yeah, that's pretty much it. It's a good book. It's a good me like it's a good read. Book. It's a great read.
I wrote it. It's great.
But I started doing TikToks after the book.
Yeah.
But obviously the TikToks that I do are literally essentially just me. So like there is elements of the TikTok in the book because the book is very much my voice and my TikToks are very much, you know, me. So
Oh, I can't wait to read it. I'm so excited. When you said before, before our call that the book was already out, I was like, oh my God, I thought I had to wait. I thought I had to go on the wait list, but I'm just literally going to go on Amazon after this and grab it. So
yes, please
I can't wait. I had another question for you about challenges or opportunities that you've encountered through your growth on TikToks. Obviously, it's so fun when you go viral and then you've built a following off the back of that and consistency is key and all those things. But what would you say the challenges or opportunities you've been given are in regards to your growth?
So I think opportunities, I've started getting a couple of like collab opportunities and stuff coming through to work with brands and things like that, which I'm really excited about, and sort of hand selecting opportunities that I think best reflect me and my brand and, you know, my voice and the kind of things I want to be involved with is really important as well. So I'm at the stage of my career with regards to TikTok of just kind of figuring out how that works and like how I want to move forward with that, which is great. But it's, I think having said that, it's also quite easy to like want to take on everything. So if I get like something through, I'm like, oh, I really want to do that, or this seems really fun. But I've kind of gotten to a stage now where I'm being a bit more selective and I'm like, okay, how is, like, I'm obviously going to help this brand, like, you know, talk about whatever, but how is this brand going to help me is now what I'm trying to think of, which is fun. I think challenges is like always wanting to be better than my last video.
Yeah.
So like I think sometimes there's a certain pressure of like churning out content that's successful. So the videos are really simple, like it's just me doing the same thing basically in different scenarios and different situations. But
ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Sometimes it hits and sometimes it doesn't. And like, I could do a TikTok and I'll think to myself, like, that is a mint TikTok. Like, that is so funny. That has to go viral. Like, people are going to like that. And then it will absolutely flop. And I'll be like, oh no. And then I'll do one. I'll do one really, really quickly. Won't even think about it.
Yeah.
Like, I did one in the airport and that ended up getting like 9.6 million views, which is like
insane.
Which is my highest viewed TikTok. And I didn't even think about it, plan it, nothing. I just did it.
Honestly, so, it's always like that when it's like the worst TikTok ever. I had a TikTok that got 1.4 million and I'm like, I work so hard on this podcast. Yeah. I'm like doing like PR, like Instagram, social, Twitter, everything. Did this shit TikTok about a guy that was dumping leaves in the back of my garden. And then all these people just started like abusing each other, abusing me, being like, your garden's disgusting anyway and all this. And I'm like, how is this what goes viral? Like, why can't the thing I put my fucking heart and soul into go viral, please?
It's so true. It's like when I post about my book, it's like floppalina. Like there is nothing. Like no, like
floppalina.
It's giving flop when I post about my book. But then I'll literally like bite my lip in one video, and it's got like millions and millions of views. But what I've learned to do is I'm trying to like, I'm like, right, give the people what they want.
Yeah.
People want this face, they want this character. And then in the comments, I'm like, hey guys, please go and buy my book. Like, I know you're not interested in reposting about it, but if you could just check it out, that'd be great.
Yeah. Perfect. You know, but you gotta do what works, don't you?
Oh,
and
yeah.
As long as you've got a strategy, go for it. Love
100%.
It. And what is one misconception or stereotype that you've encountered, and how do you use your content to challenge that stereotype?
Well, I think obviously my content is essentially playing up to a stereotype.
Yeah.
It's kind of me obviously creating this like large character based on a stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, for example, if I have like my hair down in a video, people are like, oh, she's actually this, or she's actually that. And it does make me laugh, because like, if I have like my hair down in a video, people are like, oh my God, you're actually so pretty. And they're like, they're so shocked.
Fuck you.
Yeah. And I think whilst that is so funny, and don't get me wrong, those comments make me laugh so much and I do really love them. I think it's like people kind of assume that you can't be both. Like you can't be both like femme and mask.
Mm-hmm,
and I think it's part of a wider preconception of what a lesbian is supposed to look like, which I understand that, as I said, I'm sort of playing to that stereotype, but I'm playing to that stereotype being very aware of it. So like, I know what I'm doing, but you know, in the real world, there is that misconception that like you can only be one thing, and like you're either this kind of lesbian or this kind of lesbian. And I think I posted a TikTok in a bikini, and people are commenting like, mask lesbians don't wear bikinis. And I'm like, and don't get me wrong, some of the comments are like funny, and like there's like jokes behind it, which I totally love, get. Like, I don't want anyone listening to be like, oh, I said that. Like, literally don't worry about it. I think it's just interesting because, as I said, there is this like assumption about certain groups of people. And like, I don't really know what kind of lesbian I am. I don't know if I'm a mask lesbian. I don't know if I'm a stem, a femme, or whatever else there is. But like, I am what I am, and I did wear a bikini. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think it's so great that you don't have to fit into a box either. Cause I think that's something that's so great about the LGBTQ+ community, is that there's no boundaries. It's sort of like you can just be who you want to be, and that can be fluid. And I think that people are starting to understand that a bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think people are so quick to like silo people into boxes and categories that they can understand or that they can comprehend, when it just doesn't need to be that way.
Yeah, 100%. And as I said, I recognise that there's kind of like thin ice on it, because I know that my content is playing that stereotype. But equally, I'm very aware of what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and I am aware of like the bigger picture as well. that makes
and
sense.
And the intentions there as well. Like you've yeah, so you know, yeah, and you're well educated in that, which is why you can do these bits so well, you know. Mm-hmm. How do you think being part of the queer community and coming from a working class background has defined who you are today, both personally and as a content creator? So I know you touched on this briefly about some of the themes in your book, but I'd love if we could have a bit of a discussion about it, just because it's something I've never touched on the podcast. And when you mentioned it to me before the podcast, I was like really fascinated. So yeah, how do you think it has defined you?
So I think those sort of qualities are very ingrained in me. Again, both as like from a personal perspective and creatively. It's part of every creative process that I have. Aside from TikToks, I am a writer and an actor and a stand-up comedian. And I inject those qualities into like everything that I do. So my writing, for example, I've written a short comedy for BBC Three called Peckheads, which is still available on iPlayer, I believe, if anyone wants to go and watch it. And that is about, you know, the main character, Mel, is a gay character. She's very working class and, like, it's about sort of them having a laugh at school but also facing, like, the pressures of being a teenager and being working class and kind of contending with all of those things. Most of my stand-up set is like about me being gay and working class. People say write what you know, and like those, I know those things so well because they are who I am, and they define people. Like people like to say, oh, I don't like to define myself by being gay, or I don't like to define myself by being working class. But for me personally, I don't have issue with that. Like I'm very proud of being gay and very proud of being working class, and I believe those are like strong qualities in me, and they've made me the person that I am. They've certainly got me to where I am as well.
Yeah, you mentioned before that you discovered your sexuality when you were quite young, and obviously you've written what was it called again for BBC Three?
Peckheads,
love it. You've written that about teenagers and growing up as well. So growing up, did you have any role models or inspirational figures from similar backgrounds who helped to shape your understanding of what it means to be a working class queer person?
I think when I was in school, so when I was a teenager, I didn't really have, there was not really a gay person for me that I looked up to, mainly because like I just wasn't aware of one at that time. There was a lot of gay men who, you know, I like enjoyed, you know, following their journey and stuff like that, but there was no one, there was not a woman that I connected with in that way. Unfortunately, I kind of just found, I was the kind of kid at school that like I was obsessed with like a couple of teachers at school. You know, like that kid, like female teachers. And I kind of found my like solace, if you like, in them, even though they weren't gay.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it is nice. It's definitely like in hindsight, you know, got, like helped me through a lot of things. I think so when I was a kid, I was a big fangirl. Like when I was a teenager, I was a fangirl of Girls Aloud.
Oh my God.
I know. And
so random.
Cheryl in particular.
Love her.
I know. And that was kind of, there's, I think in the fan base that I was in at the time, loads of them, I'd say probably 95% of them were gay. And all in the closet like me. And I think we kind of all like knew that about each other. So that was kind of, that was like a nice safe haven for me as well. And I think now as well, when I find people that I like actors, writers, musicians, whatever, that I connect with and I'm like, oh, I love them, I automatically get on Wikipedia and like read about their like personal lives. And it's so funny because if they've come from a working class background, I'm like, love them even more. Or if they've been to like a boarding school, I automatically like take a step back. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Like, not relatable.
I'm like, well, they're still good, but, you know, which, you know, rightly or wrongly of me, that's just kind of how I feel about it.
And then you mentioned there as well about forming relationships with other people in sort of fandoms. Was that online or offline? And I'd love as well to know, like, how do you think your background as a queer working class person has influenced the relationships you've made online and offline? So whether that's in fandoms, whether it's family, friends, relationships, like partners, anything.
Yeah. So the fandom was online.
Mm.
And I ended up, you know, making a lot of friends and
so nice.
Yeah, people that I spent a long time with through that. So that was really lovely. And I know that's actually quite, that's the case for a lot of teenagers as well. They would be part of a fandom for whoever. And then that's how they meet their like people, their crowd, which I think is so nice.
Yeah.
I think I'll often get messages on Instagram from working class creatives expressing their admiration for my work, which I love so much, and how they wish to follow a similar path, which I love because I do the same thing. I'll message other working class people that I now look up to, and I'll say like, I love this that you've done, and I've really enjoyed reading about your journey, and it's really inspired me to do this, that, and the other, which I love, and obviously all my gay friends as well.
Yeah,
I love so much. Like, I've made really good friends with Charlie Marlowe, who is obviously.
Oh my god, I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah, who is fantastic.
So funny,
very talented. Also gay as well. So it's kind of like, I think you attract the people that would attract you. Like, you kind of just find your crowd, especially in TikTok and like online in general. It happens so quickly. You know, you just like meet your people and you just click and you're like, oh, that's my person. Because of their this, that, and the other. Yeah.
I read something the other day and it was like, it's when you find someone that you don't need social batteries for, like you can just be yourself, like just chill. Like, I have my friend Harriet and I'll go around hers and we hang out all the time, but we'll just sit there and like go on our phone, watch a film. Like, we won't even speak for like 3 hours.
Yeah, they're
we're just laying there.
They're the best friends. They're the best ones.
Because it's like you just know and then you'll just like show them a meme and they're like, love that.
Yeah,
like,
I love
it's
that.
Just so, it's so relaxing to be around people that are like your people, you know?
Yeah, 1,000%.
So good. I always think, how do you think people found those connections in like the 90s and like before that? Like, how did they even do it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think things like creatively have always brought people together. So music, people meet people at like gigs and festivals and I feel like that was probably like a thing that brought people together, like similar interests and stuff.
Yeah, that's so true. And like going to see things in real life, like whether that's like film or art or something, you could just meet like-minded friends.
Defo.
Yeah, so nice. And how do you feel that coming from a working class background, how has that shaped the content that you make on TikTok?
I think that – so I've always been this like silly character. So it's funny because the whole TikTok lesbian thing, I've actually done that like face and been that person when I was in school. So like my girlfriend has known me since I was like 13, 14.
Yeah.
And like I used to do that for her and she used to find it so funny. So like it's always been this, like it's definitely evolved into what it is now, but I've always had this like strange, like I've always pulled strange faces and like I'm very expressionate and like I've kind of used that in a lot of my comedy. And obviously, you know, a platform like TikTok, which very much just started as, you know, a sort of a video platform for all sorts of different content is now quite literally changing people's lives. Like it, like I know that can sound really like far-fetched and dramatic, but it literally is. So I'm like, so I'm kind of like, oh, well, why shouldn't I like be a part of this? And
of course.
And I think being working class as well, I'm very like get up and go. And I've always got – everything that I've got at this point, to this point of my career, my life, I've gotten myself. Like, I've not done it with help from anybody else. Yeah. I've worked very, very hard, and I've, you know, had a lot of setbacks and a lot of no's and this, that, and the other. And it kind of, I think when you come from nothing, it gives you a real, real drive to, like, keep going, keep pushing until you get to where you want to be. So, like, that's kind of the approach that I'm going to take on TikTok as well, in, you know, in very much a more lighthearted way.
Yeah, and I think it's so great that you can just be an extension of yourself online. Like, you were saying that you've grown up doing these, like, faces and that the act and, like, the bit for your friends. It's sort of like, I mean, not to take anything away from the hard work that you've put in, but it feels like it makes it easier, because you're just like, oh, I can just do this, but just take a little video and put it on Insta or put it on TikTok, you know, like
1,000%. Yeah, it's so nice. The, like, the laid backness of it is amazing. And I find that with a lot of the TikTokers that I like and that I find funny, I've, you know, heard them talk about stuff about how, you know, they're just being themselves. And it's so lovely that we can just, like, share a part of ourselves that is, you know, that other people really enjoy and find really funny. And, like, you can actually make a career out of just being yourself. But TikTok is such a, I don't want to say it's an easy way, because it is hard to crack. TikTok is hard to crack. But once you've done it and you build your right audience and stuff like that, it's such a fabulous way to, like, you know, share yourself with the world.
And I love how it's changed so much. Like, even in the last 5 years, when we were taught, like, the word was influencer rather than creator.
Yeah.
And it's people who are just projecting this fake, like, really edited, heavily curated lifestyle on things like Instagram. And people idolized it and loved it. And now, like, everyone's just collectively gotten sick of that and so over it. Like, no one wants to see this polished fake version of someone's life. Like, they want to see stuff that's actually, like, real and funny and, like, someone's real personality coming through. So I think it's so cool that everyone's sort of just gone no to that. Yes to this, you know, like, it's completely changed.
Yeah, that's such a brilliant point to make as well. I've not really thought of it like that, but it's so true, because I wouldn't say I'm an influencer, and I'd never want to be an influencer. I don't have anything against influencers. If that's how you, you know, if that's how you make your money, like, that's great. But I don't want to be that. Like, I just want to, I want to be a creator, and I want to just create stuff. And I, you know, I love writing comedy. I love doing stand up. I'm obviously an actor as well, and, like, that's kind of where my passions lie.
Yeah.
And then obviously doing these, like, funny things on TikTok as well is just so much fun.
So how does using your platform to represent and uplift the working class queer voices contribute to your own sense of fulfillment and empowerment?
I think obviously I'm doing something that I love, and I, like, enjoy it as myself, and I'm proud of who I am, and I'm very open about that. And I feel like that would be validating for anyone. So, like, anyone who's part of the community or comes from a similar background, if they kind of see me being, you know, present and, like, doing what I'm doing and creating stuff, I feel like that can be quite validating. And I would just try and, like, encourage others to try something that they want to try as well, regardless of, like, what it is. If you've got, like, an idea or whatever, and, you know, you've got something you want to share, or a character or something, like, I think it's empowering to try and, like, encourage other people to do the same thing as well. But I think mainly just, like, taking up that space, just being who I am and taking up that space, is hopefully, like, validating for people in, like, the same community as me, defo.
And I liked your point about that you don't need to be queer or working class to look at you as a source of inspiration, as someone who's just following their dreams and creating content they want to make, and, you know, being led by their passions. So
definitely,
that's really cool.
It's all about taking risks as well. You have to take risks, even if it's a risk as small as, like, posting a TikTok that's Floppolina. You've just got to do it, whereas, you know, otherwise sometimes there's bigger risks than that, but you have to take risks, and you have to get through, like, kind of stuff before you start getting to the cool stuff, you know?
Giving yourself the ick a little bit.
Oh my gosh, give myself the ick all the time.
So
it's
bad.
Got to be done. Got to be done. It's part of the process.
Yeah. Finally, what's next for you? Where do you see your content going? Do you see it changing direction? I know that you're an actress as well, or actor. What's coming up?
So I think for me, I want to continue acting. I really enjoy sort of, acting in comedies and things like that. And obviously I've just been a series regular in Everyone Else Burns on Channel 4, which was honestly like a dream come true.
Really?
It's all I've ever wanted to do since I was a kid. Is sort of have a role like that in a show like that. So if I can just sort of continue auditioning and things and hopefully secure a few more parts. I'm currently writing, I've got a something in development at the minute with a major broadcaster, so as soon as I can say more about that I will.
Exciting.
But yeah, so I think I want to carry on acting. I want to carry on writing. I'm really enjoying doing stand-up as well at the minute. I'm currently writing a one-woman show, which is going to heavily feature TikTok lesbian. You heard it here first.
So amazing.
Anyone that wants to come and watch an hour of TikTok lesbian,
I will be there.
Keep an eye out for shows. And then I think with regards to TikTok, just carry on like posting stuff that makes me laugh. Like it makes me laugh so much. And I think it's quite a safe thing. So I might venture out and try some like different characters and
please do. Give it a try.
And just sort of give it a go. Give myself the ick, I'm sure. But
yeah.
I think just give it a go and I feel like I've got a really nice supportive audience behind me and like my followers and stuff like that. So I'm kind of excited to see where that's going to go, and I'm just going to continue exactly how I'm going, really.
Oh, I'm hopefully so pleased for you. And it's just so exciting watching your journey, and I'm so pleased that you've been able to come on the podcast and chat. It's been really fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my chat with the wonderful Soph. This is the season finale, so please remember to subscribe, rate and review the podcast, and get in touch with me on social media for whoever you want to see in season 10 of Mads World. Peace.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.